It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah.
Yes, that is right. Very morningish.
It is morningish.
Well, it's 8 morning
came.
In the morning.
Morning came well, fast
been,
after
I've
that game.
Up, I've been up since, what, 4:30? Yeah. So 4:30 a.m. You've been up since nice. 3?
I almost feel like I didn't go to sleep after watching the game last night. Mm-hmm. You ever have those moments, Key, like where you close your eyes and,
oh, absolutely.
Like, and you're like, what the? What?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just closed my damn eyes.
Oh,
what
yeah,
happened?
For sure. Last night.
you wake up in the middle of the night. You're like, okay, I'm going to check the phone right now. Please tell me it's like 2 a.m.
And
please tell me it's 2 a.m.
You don't have a clock?
Not I used to, but for what now? I have the phone right there.
I have the phone, the clock. I have the phone, the clock, and the alarm. So I got all three.
Yeah. I got just use the phone. It's the alarm clock. It's the clock. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, we don't bring the phones in the bed anymore. In the bedroom anymore. We stopped that.
Yeah, it's good. So
I
you're not
like that.
So you're not like right.
Once I checked, well, we have a little bucket, and when you go into our room, like you literally put the phone in the little basket.
Well, how do you ignore your family though?
What do you mean?
How do you ignore your family if you put your phone in the bucket?
You mean like his mom?
I'm focused on my family.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I'm focused on my actual family.
I see. I was wondering how you ignored your family if you don't have your phone.
I don't want to put this in the universe, but what happens if you oversleep and I got to call you?
I have an alarm clock in my room.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're going to
call the alarm clock.
You're going to call somebody if they're 2 minutes late anyway, from what the time you think it's supposed to be.
True.
So it doesn't matter. A minute, it's 3:30. I wonder if Jay's up. Jay?
Keith, what are you showing up?
Well, I mean, I was waiting. It's so funny.
No,
because as I was driving.
Yeah, did you hear from me?
I kept
no.
looking at my phone.
Waiting for it.
I was just waiting for it. I was waiting for it because I was going to ignore his ass. So I was waiting on purpose.
You were there the whole time.
It's hard.
Yeah, I was here the whole time, too.
Yeah, he's always here the whole time. Don't worry about that.
I'm just saying.
But by the way, then when Key talks about what we—
I did not call you, and you were like 15 minutes late.
He'll say he's been there the whole time, but then he just more or less repeats what we just talked about.
I'm telling the world now, but I didn't call you.
Like somehow, like he was there.
By the way, for people that don't understand what we're talking about, we usually start our meeting at 5 a.m. or like 5. Well, it's been pushed back.
5:15.
5:20.
5:20.
Yeah, I strolled in at 5:30.
So Key usually is not saying anything at first, and they're like, "Yeah, Key, there." He's like, "Yeah, been here the whole time.
Been here the whole time.
Heard everything you guys said.
Yeah, everything that you said." But my driver was, you know, sometimes they get
Uber
lost.
Driver.
Uber driver. Yeah, Uber driver, yeah. Not driver.
Driver. Uber driver. Yeah.
Which is starting to get annoying because I got to pay every time I get in one.
Surcharge. Up, it's raining. It'll go up 10%. I'm like, wait, what? Because it's raining?
And the dude. Clearly, I mean, I don't know. It just was going in circles, it felt like. And it wasn't like the olden days with the cabs where you thought the dude was deliberately going in circles.
Why are you trying to hustle me?
This dude was really lost, though. I'm like, dude, you got the damn navigation
on.
What are you doing?
You can never get lost nowadays with
NAS. And then I didn't want to be too aggressive, so I kind of was just like, you know, like trying to be patient with him till he got ready to get on the FDR. And I'm like, no, go to the left. There's no need to.
How about this? It's like they're going to be there in 4 minutes. Then you look at the thing. It's 5 minutes. You've been waiting for 5 minutes. It was supposed to be 4 minutes. Now it's another 5 minutes. They're driving in the wrong direction. You're like, okay, what do I do? Do I call this dude? Do I order a lift instead?
No.
What do I do?
Speak your mind.
No, my point is like something. They don't pick up the call. You don't know if they're even coming toward you.
I had that happen to me last time I was here in – the young lady I ordered. She was sitting, and I'm watching. And then minutes went by, minutes went by, and then she says, "Are you going into the city?" Because I was in Brooklyn.
Why does it matter where I'm going?
I said
come
exactly.
Pick me up.
I said,
see where I'm?
I said, "Why does it?" Yes, I'm going. You know what? Never mind. And I canceled and ordered another one. It came in 2 minutes.
Well, by the way, you have to put in the drop location in the Uber app, so you know where I'm trying to go.
How about this one now? There's so many screens you have to check and check and check. Sometimes I think I ordered it, and I look down after 5 or 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, damn, I didn't put it through. Like, you know, I thought I put it through, but now it's like I'm wearing a mask. Yes, I am. You know, I'm
still
alive.
Doing,
you know, whatever.
You should still be doing my trick, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a good trick. I have done that trick, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that trick.
Wait,
works.
What's the trick? Why am I left trick. Out on the trick?
Well, I have to tell you. Yeah, I don't want to tell you over the airways on the trick. It saves you a little bit of money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Warriors win game 5 of the
NBA Finals. They didn't
NBA
save any
finals.
Money, did they? Come on, Max is right there. They didn't save any money.
Not to bettors who bet against them, Jay. Jay, let me ask you something. If I were to have told you that the Steph Curry wasn't going to hit a single three, that the Warriors would catch fire in the second half, that Dre would foul out of a game, that, you know, like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, what would you say the outcome of that game would be?
Would have said Boston would have won by 15 points.
Why did the Warriors win by 10 in that case?
I mean, look, I think Boston started slow in the first quarter. They ended poorly, just like they did in game 4 in the fourth quarter. I think the shot that Jordan Poole made at the end of the third quarter kind of reshifted the momentum in Chase Arena. And Andrew Wiggins came to play. Andrew Wiggins was a star. I mean, Andrew Wiggins was the second best player for the Golden State Warriors last night in a game in which Steph couldn't get it going. For him to have, you know, 26 points, 13 rebounds, and really kind of be like a revamped version of what Andre Iguodala was back in 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. Defensively guarding Jason Tatum, making big shots. And then when you get bench points from Jordan Poole and Gary Payton the second, compared to the lack of production off the bench for Boston. I mean, look, every superstar has a couple of guys that have came through down the stretch for them, right? That's LeBron James's game against the Spurs when essentially they thought it was over. Ray Allen made that three in the corner. It was LeBron James with Kyrie Irving in game 7 making that critical shot to win the game. Like, you have other players that come through in championship runs that make critical plays, and that's what Andrew Wiggins did yesterday.
Michael Jordan had a couple. He had a Steve Kerr moment where Steve knocked it down. I mean, everybody has a, like Jay said, has a couple people that have to lift you up, right? When you don't, maybe not at the top of your game. And so that's exactly when you look at the performance that they had in game 5, you have to think, okay, can they repeat that in game 6 though? If something was to happen where they needed to, will that be able to be the case? Will it be Poole's turn now? It was Wiggins. Will it be all of a sudden Poole? Will he turn on the lights? Will Draymond come to life from an offensive standpoint?
Game 6, Clay.
Or game 6. Well, yeah, game 6, Clay. I think Clay will be okay.
Yeah, Clay might go, as I said, supernova. Jay, you predicted there would be a change in the defense on Steph. You said exactly how it would happen. That's exactly what happened. And as a result, the man has been carrying. It's unbelievable what he's been doing to this point. Had an off game. That's fine. Who was going to step up? Andrew Wiggins all day long. We talked about Bob Myers earlier in the show, the GM in Golden State. The fact that he gets Wiggins, pays him, keeps him on the team. And Wiggins, who was miscast earlier in his career, as Iguodala was once upon a time, as the number one scoring option. And he was okay, but then the Golden State Warriors get their hands on him. They're like, you don't have to be the number one option here. He becomes a super valuable defender, scorer, you know, supporting player.
Jay talks about it all the time, man. Circumstances, situations, and surroundings.
Facts.
What if, and it's just a what if, Golden State would have taken him instead of Cleveland trading him to Minnesota? What if he'd have started his career with Golden State?
Yeah, where'd he
would
be?
That conversation be totally different now, Jay, about Wiggins?
It might be close. I mean, think about this. Jabari Parker was taken with the second pick in the 2014 draft. You know who was number 3? Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid. Right? So, like, I try to tell people, and Keith, we see this all the time in football. Well, it may be different in football. Just because you're the number one pick in NBA draft doesn't mean you're going to be the franchise player all the time. Like, there's only a certain handful of franchise players out there, right? So, a lot of times I think we mistaken high draft picks with, he has to be the guy, or can you win a championship with him? And that's why, even going back, you know what I mean, Key? Like, even Zion Williamson, I'm like, you can win a championship with him. Doesn't mean he needs to be your primary guy, but he can be a piece of a championship team.
What I've always done in terms of football, and the way that I look at it when you start talking about high-level picks, is I don't look at it as, okay, we got a high-level pick, and now we're going to the Super Bowl. When I look at that individual high-level pick, even in basketball, is he a multiple all-star guy? Is he a multiple pro bowler? Okay. Is that, because if you are a high pick in football, You are a multiple-time Pro Bowler. You are potentially a future Hall of Famer. You have Hall of Fame-type ability. Because one guy in football is really not going, unless you're like Tom Brady, quarterback they needed, isn't going to all of a sudden drop a guy in and you're going to the Super Bowl.
And if
just
Wiggins,
doesn't work that way.
If Wiggins, let's say Cleveland never makes the trade. Remember, LeBron wanted Kevin Love.
Yeah.
But let's say Cleveland's like, no, you're going to get Andrew Wiggins, and LeBron still wanted to come. And Wiggins went to the Cavs with LeBron and Kyrie.
Came up
under their wing. Or if he would have wound up in a place like Golden State, our whole perception of his career,
absolutely,
he would have developed differently. He may have made two or three All-Star games already. He may have won a couple championships. And we'd be thinking, this is a potential future Hall of Famer.
By the way, the only reason we're talking like this now, though, is because Wiggins has done it in the NBA Finals. You know how many dudes in the NBA are in that same situation? Like high draft picks that don't get the opportunity? That people are saying, oh, you can't win with guys like that. You're like, well... Like, that's what people were saying about Wiggins. He's non-competitive. That was his whole thing. He's non-competitive.
If you say, Wiggins, you're going to be our best player, win us a championship, miscast.
Man.
But be our second, third, fourth best player?
Max, like I said about my own career, hell, if Bill Parcells, and I was good as a rookie, and I probably would have been okay, but I wouldn't have been what it turned out to be if Bill didn't come. Bill came. And now I'm in the right situation, the right circumstances.
But you were a number one receiver.
Yeah, but it didn't matter because it looked different to the eyes of the people. It didn't matter.
Okay, go ahead. You know, keep preaching. Don't stop. Because I'm add on to it, man.
It didn't matter if I was number one because when you looked at it, it's like, we can get the same thing out of the other guy. Right. Why would they draft this guy? He's a bum.
And Key, you get these overwhelming, these cast types, right? Like, oh, he's number one. It didn't pan out. I'm like, Jay, you're number two pick. You're not scoring 25 points tonight. I'm like, well,
you're in the triangle.
I play in the triangle.
Yeah.
Like, who? What point guard has ever scored 25 a night in the
Richie
triangle?
Richie Coltite is my head coach.
Context matters, but we live in this headline statement like, oh, he's a bust or he didn't get it done. You're like, well, wait a second. Who was my coach? What system was I
think
in?
Think about it, Max Kellerman. I had Richie Coltite, a guy who got fired from Philly, hired by the Jets.
Standing on the sideline with one of those Michael Douglas phones from Wall Street.
Yeah, big old brick phone. Seriously, stop. You know?
Yeah. Meantime, guys, I have no problem. Oh, you're critical of Steph Curry, da-da-da. I've been waiting for him to have this finals his whole career. Everyone else pretending he'd already done it.
Yeah.
Meantime, LeBron and Wade and everyone waited for game four when he's been lighting it up. He's like, oh, my God, Steph Curry. There's a reason everyone's talking about it now because he's doing it now. Now. You don't show up in game five the same way. They changed the defense. You've been carrying the load. No big deal. No problem. By the way, one of the reasons Wiggins is in a position to step up is the culture that Steph creates. I get it. No problem. They could even go to Boston and lose game six. Boston to lose two consecutively after a loss when they were 7-0 after a loss throughout these playoffs. Unlikely, right? Like maybe they wind up back in Golden State. But I am saying this, y'all. Guys, it's a moving target we're trying to hit. Players write their legacy in moments like this. It doesn't, of course, he's an all-time great player. He's top 15, whatever you want to say. I'm talking about now is where we start to split hairs and say he's a top 10 all-time great. He was a huge finals performer. And let me say this. If this series shifts back to Golden State, this was fine in Game 5, and Steph plays like he did last night, and they lose, that can't happen. That's all I'm saying. That cannot happen. I'm not rooting for it to happen, but I'm saying that cannot happen.
It could happen, but if you want it to be the storybook ending, it can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is the 300 pounder fell on his leg. He came back and he hit for 43 when everybody was like, well, he may not play. Who knows? And then you're looking at it and you're saying, well, he was able to do all of that, and then he went on the road. They were able to not win the game. Now they're at home, game seven. All the stars are aligned. Everybody's on the court. Jay-Z's there. Jay Will's there with his suit on. And
2016, they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
This time, that's what I'm saying. At that point, I'm not saying his whole career comes as ridiculous. It comes down to that moment. He's an all-time great. But that moment will have an enormous sway on his legacy.
You want the biggest stars to shine at the brightest moments.
I got to tell you, it really fears. Yeah, you said that correctly. It really feels like we are going to have a game seven. Like watching Boston lose back-to-back games, like it's very uncharacteristic of who they are. Like being back home, I mean, I already see some of the stuff being set up for, right? Klay Thompson post-game was like, yeah, I've never been so excited to go back to Boston. I'm like, oh, boy. Okay, Boston fans hear that now.
Vince Carter with us now. Vince, we were talking about this yesterday on TV, and I got no problem with Steph. They won. Steph's going to have an off night. He's carrying the load the whole way. Only thing I'm saying is this, VC. If it gets to a game seven and they're back at Golden State, Steph can't play like that in a loss. Cannot happen.
Right, Max. So one of the questions, the first question that was asked to me by Jay was, what's up with the drop coverage? What's up with the drop coverage? And they were allowing Steph to shoot as much as they want because they wanted to keep everybody else in front of them. So there's no guys that get loose like they have because everybody just had so-so games. You know, Andrew's been, to me, the second best player. Now the coverage steps up a little bit. Every three-point shot he's taken now is contested a little bit, even what is there, you know, if it's long distance. And he usually hits someone when he sees a few of his other shots going. You know, he shoots the ones and he falls out, barely looking at the rim. Well, that was a little different. But the thing that hurt them, now Draymond has driving lanes, regardless of how many points he scores, which opens up open shots for Klay Thompson for three, which now even opens up jump shots, mid-range, or driving lanes for Andrew Wiggins. I think that's the reason, in my opinion, why the drop coverage was used. It says, yes, Steph is in front of us. We step up sometimes, but we can keep everything in front of us. Nothing gets behind us. We're not – because Steph does a great job of getting off the ball when he needs to create those opportunities to get easy shots because he knows later on in the game, typically, he'll get, you know, the game is easier for him because his other guys are rolling. Well, they continued to stay in the drop coverage. Andrew Wiggins just got rolling. And then now it was in transition. Wiggs able to get to the basket. One-on-one situation. Wiggs get to the basket because he's seen some shots go in. So I just think the drop coverage was being used. Yes, Steph is going crazy, but it kept everybody else at bay. Now they switched the coverage up, maybe because everybody's talking about it. Maybe not. And I thought it bit him in the butt. Plus the turnovers.
I mean, the turnovers are the most – VC, I would ask you.
Yeah,
I mean,
they had 18 turnovers, and nine of them from their two stars.
Thank you. And how many of those turnovers, VC, do you think were unforced turnovers?
Self-inflicted. You're right.
Go ahead.
Those guys are trying to draw fouls, man. It's like, you see, Marcus Smart had the one where he was trying to draw the foul on Steph. He moves out of the way. He throws the ball in the air, turnover. And I felt like they were trying to search too much. Jason Tatum was trying to search and hunt for fouls instead of get a bucket. Put the ball, because if the ref doesn't call it, you're in an awkward position and not, you know, against a good defense, not making shots. I'm like, at some point, stop settling, stop searching, and go score.
VC, if I'm Ime Udoka before on Thursday, right, these next couple of days before the game, I'm telling this, you're not saying one word to the refs. I'll take care of all that. I got a tech in game five, deserve.
Right.
Let me handle that. Marcus Smart, you don't need to worry about that. And by the way, when they want to shade your right hand, bulldoze through them. Attack the damn rim. Like Jason Tatum in the first 6 minutes of the game, VC, I'm like, is he even on the court? Is he even going to take a shot?
Where is he?
What was that? I don't understand that.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's just, trying to find any way. Because they're hearing the whispers, they're hearing all the talk, you know, talking about his struggles. He's talked about it. I just got to keep playing. And then you go out there and you're trying to do it. But, I mean, it's easier said than done. Let the game come to you. Do, you know, take what the defense gives you. All the cliches that we hear. But I just, the only thing I say is stop settling. If you're going to settle for a contested shot, let it be in the paint. Not a contested three off a jab step and a shot over Wiggins, who is, you know, athletic as well, long arms. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just that was the frustrating part. Open shots that he's missing, okay, fine, it happened. But I'm saying get to the free throw line, see some shots go in.
Vince Carter, ESPN NBA analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. VC, now they're moving back to Boston for game six. Mm-hmm. What is it that the Celtics as a team need to do to even the score?
Okay, well, I like the fact that they play through Jaylen Brown early, and then allow Jason Tatum to get in, you know, work his way into the game, because he struggled, and you don't, you take the pressure. I think Jaylen Brown is the 1B. We say Jason Tatum's their superstar. Jaylen Brown, I think he's a superstar, and he's playing like it. So he's the one that's been aggressive early, be able to get his shot one-on-one, draw fouls, and create. And then we saw in game three how that worked for him. He was aggressive, 17 points early, and then Jason Tatum was kind of able to kind of work his way into the game when Jaylen started to tail off a little bit. Now Jason Tatum's up next, and they were successful that way. I mean, that was an aberration to me. I think it was a little blip. I think Jaylen Brown's going to bounce back and be just fine. I think they tried to force the issue. Now, the key to me is don't go out there and play hero ball, Boston Celtics. Do not play hero ball and feel like you have to do it for your team, because if they play off script, they're not going to win. It might get blown out if they do that.
It would be nice to get a couple of passes, you know, rotate the defense from side to side, BC, and then actually drive.
Then play one-on-one.
Yeah. All right. Vince Carter, ESPN NBA analyst, 8-time NBA All-Star, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. BC, I do want to set up game 6 coming up Thursday night, going to be on ABC. And, you know, I heard Clay post-game last night in the wee hours in the morning say, I've never been so excited to go back to Boston. I'm like, oh okay, given I hear you saying that. But also – you know, before game 4, he was like, you know, I'm just going to go to YouTube and watch highlights of game 6 Clay. Like, do you think it sets up for that kind of moment that you're going to need from Clay Thompson in game 6 on the road to provide that for Golden State?
Yeah. I do. I think, you know, he's excited about his opportunity after all he's been through. I think it's more that than a shot at Boston. I mean, I know he had some things about, you know, how they were, you know, yelling and saying F you, Draymond, whatever. So it could be a little bit of both, but I think this is the opportunity. He said he's been waiting for this, and you saw him emotional when they got to the finals. And I think game five was the setup for game 6 Clay. I mean, you could just see he was in rhythm. He was getting his shot off of contested. I mean, just catching fire away immediately. It's setting up for that. And then now if he's doing that, that's going to allow Steph to be able to play freely as well, you know, because they have a decision to make. What defense are you going to play now? You going to go back to your drop coverage? Are you going to stay up with Steph and hope that, you know, the others, and I think that's what they were banking on. They were hoping that Clay didn't play well or shoot the ball well, and Wiggins just had an okay game, and Poole didn't, you know, have a decent game, and then Gary Payton doesn't give you 15 points. Like, that's a killer when you have Steph under control, 16 points. We allow 15 points, 14 points, 26 points, and 18. Like, that's a killer for Boston defense.
Vince Carter, ladies and gentlemen. VC, thanks for jumping on with us, as always.
Always, man.
VC, who you got winning game 6, by the way?
I do have I have Golden State finishing it.
Ooh, okay.
I know, and it's tough to say, you know, that they bounce back after the loss and all of that, but it's just they're confident. And what do you think? You think Steph's just going to be like, nah, man. He got something he needs to prove. Remember, he's playing for more than just, you know, winning, in my opinion. This Max, you asked for that defining moment.
Yep.
This can be it.
I think he's already
MVP, but this can close the deal.
Max got him winning in 9.
I went from 6 to 7. I still got the Warriors.
You know what he's doing, VC? Steph Curry is stepping up for the little guys. That's what he's doing, damn it. The little guys. We're taking over.
Like Jay.
He is.
That's right.
He is.
Max got
it. Tell me. Tall aliens, you.
Thanks, Vince.
RBC.
Keyshawn, yes, Jay, Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. We're brought to you by Nature Valley. Nature Valley has helped restore access to 10,000 miles of national park trails and counting, because everyone deserves to experience what's out there, like your kids, their kids, and even their kids' kids. So head over to your local park trail to see for yourself. Nature Valley, life happens out there. Can one NFL quarterback change the narrative? A lot of narrative. In my day, they used to call it a story. Now it's a narrative. Can he change the narrative and lead his team to a Super Bowl? Plus, your chance to win 5 G's in 5 minutes. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Time for today's winning word. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio Series XM Channel 80. The winning word is leprechaun. Make sure to text it to 777-000 for the chance to win $5,000. Message and data rates may apply. Want another chance to win? If there's a Game 6 on Thursday, listen to NBA on ESPN Radio Basketball Championship broadcast at 8 p.m. Eastern for the chance to win even more cash. So, guys,
Luck of the Irish needs to be on the Celtics side in Game 6.
Yeah. Look at that. We're really hoping for a Game 7, apparently.
Good for business, Max.
It's great for business, Max.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see Steph come up big in a Game 7.
You think it's a Game 7? Are you, because you said you thought it was Game 6 before. You think they would close it out in 6, and then you pushed it back to Game 28.
You know, I'm conflicted because for Boston to lose back-to-back after a loss, to lose 3 in a row when they were 7-0 after a loss on their home floor, it's a lot. But Game 6, Clay, man, I'm still waiting for it.
You know, Max, it's something about championship teams that smell the blood in the water and they go get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you lose two, I understand the statistics say, oh, Boston's never done this, back to back. I get all of that.
There's blood in the water.
But there's blood in the water. Yeah, no doubt. Now the doubt creeps in for the team at home, which would be the Celtics. They're doubting themselves now on whether they can actually beat the team from San Francisco. They're doubting themselves.
The Last Dragon with Shownuff and Bruce Leroy? The Warriors are playing with that glow right now.
Yeah.
They got the glow, yeah. They got the glow. They're feeling
movie.
It.
Oh, he got so the good. Converse on.
Shownuff.
Shownuff.
Yeah.
Shownuff.
But they got the glow, man. They do.
Yeah, they do.
Russell Wilson, guys.
Had the glow.
Does he still have the glow? Look, he caught Sierra, his wife, unaware as she posed for photos outside an event for 10-1 rum in Los Angeles. It was like a very romantic gesture, apparently. The NFL quarterback, he's been gearing up for his first season with the Denver Broncos after a decade with the Seahawks, posted a video of the moment to his Instagram. Oh, it's a nice moment. Husband surprising his wife, the whole thing. But Channing Crowder said, I love him on the field, talking of Russell Wilson, but he is a square. Kia, you're laughing. Is Russell Wilson a square?
How are you just going to call a man a square, though? Like,
how big an insult is it to be called a square, even though?
I wouldn't be insulted being called. I want to be a square.
Mm-hmm.
I've been non-square damn near my whole life. Yes. I want to be a square. I want to do everything the right way.
You don't feel a need to show everyone you're downtown. Take me uptown.
Yeah,
no problem.
Exactly. Right. I have no problem at all with that. I laugh at it because the dude just called him a square. Like, what? Why are you picking on Russell Wilson? Like, why are you bothering him? Like, what did Russell ever do to you for you to attack him in that manner? But I just feel like, you know, on the football field, it is what it is. Do I think the Denver Broncos are going to the Super Bowl? No. Do I think Russell Wilson will take the Denver Broncos to the Super Bowl at some point in time in his career? No, I do not. I just don't. But that doesn't mean that I have to throw insults at him, attack him, you know, all of those sort of things, because that's not the way that I feel. I think a lot of people feel this way about Russell Wilson. At, they'll call him a cornball, a fraud. What else is another word that they describe him? Channing Crowder calls him a square. Yeah. I think because they look at him.
But a fraud, that's interesting. Wait, hold on. Fraud means you're not being authentic.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. A lot of people don't think he's authentic, Max. Mm-hmm. They think it's an act. They think he's just trying to show his stuff and so he can become Tom Brady, become Aaron Rodgers, become Patrick Mahomes. He wants to be badly in that circle. What I would say, though, is in all honesty, he has more off-the-field stuff than Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. You know, he has an own brand of clothing with Nike. Well, I don't know if it'll probably transfer to Denver. It was in Seattle. But he had his own whole signature line, all of those sort of things. He's dialed in the Microsoft community in Seattle. So it's kind of a little different for me, Jay, when I look at it.
Yeah, I don't put as much weight into that, Key, because I think we're all a byproduct of who we spend the most time with, right? Like, I'll laugh, like, I'll end up talking to my wife and I'm saying something that you've said or that Max has said before and utilize it in conversation, right? I spend 6 hours a day with you guys.
I quote y'all all the
day.
Time. Too I much quote time. You guys all the time, on TV and in life.
So right. My thing is, I also say a ton of stuff that my wife and I have conversations that she said. So I'm sitting there looking at Sierra saying, okay, this is not who Russell was before when he was married to his ex before. It's stuff like life happens, right? He gets married to Sierra. He's an incredible stepfather. That lifestyle happens. It elevates his game. So what? So what? Like, this reminds me kind of like the time like when you're in high school and the cool kids are like, well, you're this and you're that. And like, I'm like, all right, then those kids end up becoming the
I'm
CEOs.
I'm going to Duke. I'll be
the CEOs
I'll
of the organization
yeah.
that all the cool kids now work for. And yeah, I'm like, all right. So like, be careful calling this dude out because he's achieving incredible things.
You know, it's so funny that you brought that up. And Magic and I think we had this conversation on here before, maybe some other show or something we were on. When I was younger, when I first got into the NFL, but I've been knowing Magic for years, and so we flew together to Nick Van Exel's bowling tournament in Houston. And we were sitting, you know, together on the plane, and we were just talking and stuff, and he was just giving me some advice on different things. And one of the things he said is, and we can ask him next time, so many years as a Laker, he would always be with Dr. Buss and hanging around, you know, the front office people and teammates and people around the league would basically be jealous and envy of Magic because of his relationships. But the long game was his play, learning about business and learning about those sort of things, not the short game. And I think when you get guys like Channing Crowder, he's looking at the short game in life.
Facts.
You know, versus the long game.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. So the biggest adjustment the Celtics made but still lost, that's next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Key, you got roped into this.
Yes.
I know, because you were texting yesterday. My 7-year-old, we went there once. We'll reveal what we're talking about in a second.
Yeah.
We went there once. My 7-year-old has been begging me to go back since. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
I'm not going back. Certainly not coming out of a pandemic. But tell everyone where you went yesterday.
So I don't make the rules in certain situations, right? I go to work. I come home. My kids decide what they want to do for the day along with my wife. And mm-hmm. so we went to the Ice Cube Museum. Ice cream.
I was like, Ice Cube got a museum in New York? What the hell?
The Ice Cream.
Ice Cube. Museum. Ice Cube Museum.
The Ice Cream Museum in Soho. So I've been to the one in L.A. I knew what it was. But my daughter and my son, they wanted to go. And then I got the young one, and they wanted to take her and do the whole deal. And I'm like, whatever, man. I ain't got nothing to do for a couple hours. Okay, we could go. And wife or whatever, we could walk from the hotel in Soho, and we can go. And I get there. And I'm like, man, I don't know how. It was like $90 for all of us to go in there. And so we walk in. It's pink everywhere and the whole deal. We walk in, Jay, you know, and they going to go do the little deal, ice cream and eat and this and that. So now we get toward the end. And now it's the I guess you would call it the mosh pit or whatever you
like a ball pit, but
yeah,
it's not. But
pit.
It's like looks like sprinkles or
yeah,
something,
little
right?
Sprinkle,
yeah, giant
little,
sprinkles,
giant sprinkle plastic little things, Jay.
Okay. All right.
So you got all these little nasty ass kids with runny noses
yep.
diving in.
Oh.
In
they go through these little tubes.
Yes,
they climb up in.
It's just gross.
And I'm afraid they're gonna get stuck up there, but they don't. They go flying
and
into
I'm
this.
I'm sitting there
pit.
And I'm looking and I'm saying to myself, I'm like, y'all, what? You got them in, you know, I'm arguing at this point. Why are you letting her dive in this thing?
At first.
Yeah.
Do you sanitize every single one of those things? But the whole thing is.
Thousands of them, Jay.
The whole thing is, and at the end they get a little ice cream. I keep telling the little one, like, I'll go get you ice cream.
One little kid picked it up and licked the thing.
You saw that?
Oh. And all the parents are doing is sitting around looking at it. And I'm sitting there saying, that's nasty.
They're going to
jump right in the shower when they get back.
I want to get the number to all those parents' jobs because you know they're all calling in sick within a week. No one's going to show up at work in a week.
Ain't all those kids going home and taking showers.
Well, that's
when
why
they
I said
there.
You should, next time you're in the city, Jay, you got to take your kids.
No, why?
it's an experience.
My wife heard you on the phone telling the story and was like, no, we ain't never doing that.
No.
And it was a handful of us.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Amari Stoudemire with us. Six-time NBA All-Star.
Hardwood flooring.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. And Amari Stoudemire is giving you the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Amari, what adjustments did you see the Celtics make against Steph in Game 5?
At this point, you can't really make a lot of adjustments. I mean, you know, this is last night was Game 5. You know, so at that point, you've done it all, right? You've seen everything. And so at this point, you just have to really see if you can play as hard as you can to try to get this win. And you can critique the way you guard someone. You can try to somewhat adjust a certain coverage that you've already put in play. But there's not going to be something new that we haven't seen, a coverage we haven't seen yet in these playoffs. Just a matter of executing and trying to you know, play as hard as you can to get the win.
So obviously, you know, this team did a really good job on guarding Steph, right? The coverage was a slightly different with Al Horford being raised up on all those high P&Rs, pick and rolls.
Mm-hmm.
What adjustments do you see Udoka making in Game 6 so they could actually send this to a Game 7 back in Boston?
And then there's not too much they can do at this point. I mean, you have to think. In the Game 6 situation, and you know, Jay, like, Game 1, you get a feel of the game and how the game's going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Game 2, you make the adjustment. Game 3, you make an adjustment. You know, Game 4, there's maybe one or two more adjustments you can make. But Game 5 and 6, you've already made all your adjustments. So now it's about who has the most talent, who has the best players, who's going to step up in those big moments.
But can't Golden State and Steve Kerr now make an adjustment to free up Steph Curry from what happened in Game 5?
Yeah, they can, but it's something that they have already done before. You know what I'm saying? It won't be nothing new, right? So they would say, well, okay, if you know Marcus Smart is guarding Steph Curry this way, well, let's get him to go off the screen or the pin down in a different angle. But that's something that the Celtics have already seen. Like, we've already seen everything at this point. So now it's a matter of now, when you recognize that, exploit it, and then try to become the best player in the court.
You only got 5 or 6 different adjustments. We done already – everybody done already showed all the cards.
Right, exactly.
I'm Murray Stoudemire, 6-time NBA All-Star, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, Max. Stat, I do – there's a bigger story here about Andrew Wiggins, who had a beast game last night, 26 points, 13 rebounds.
Yeah.
Coming off that 16-rebound game in Game 4. But, you know, so many people, when they say, oh, well, he was number one pick and it just didn't pan out, man. We were just having this whole conversation about, yo, where you get drafted matters. What system you're in, what players you're around.
Absolutely.
Matters. And I get so annoyed when people say, well, can that guy win a championship? I'm like, if he's in the right culture.
No question.
That's where a lot of guys, like Andrew Wiggins, is actually in the right culture now. And his skill set is perfectly suited for how Golden State plays.
For sure. For sure. A lot of players get drafted into systems where it's not conducive for them as players, and it doesn't help out. It doesn't pan out for them. Like, if you get drafted in a high pick draft and you get drafted to a team that's not trying to really develop a player properly, and as a young player, you're just trying to be the best you can be. But if the coaching staff or the system of that team is not putting the player in a position to improve, you can't blame him because he's working hard, but the coaching staff is not capable of getting him there. And that's also the system. Like, I think Andrew Wiggins now has found the right system for him in Golden State, where you have great development coaches. You have coaches there that Andrew respects, and they hold him accountable, and he's playing great.
Who was your coach rookie year?
Frank Johnson was my head coach my rookie year.
But you guys had a system that was still around Steve, right? Pick and roll?
No, at that time Stephon Marbury.
Stephon Marbury, that's right.
And we made the playoffs that year. We had a nice run. And the same pick and roll action I was doing the same with Steph, you know. So, it's a matter of the system. But then when Mike D'Antoni came in, and then Steve also came in, and we just kind of added on.
Amar, you see how jealous Jay gets?
Oh, my God.
So
are you kidding? He's running high pick and roll. I'm running the triangle. I mean, it's just different systems.
Right,
but that's
exactly.
To highlight your point, Jay, the right fit is very important.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said to you before, if Andrew Wiggins goes to Golden State, opposed to Cleveland to Minnesota, and he goes right to Golden State, that book looks totally different.
Or maybe
for him
if he
right
goes
now.
To Cleveland and LeBron is cool with
or
it.
Or he stays at Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's a different book. Had Bill Parcells not taken over in 97, hell, I wouldn't be on the show with y'all right now, probably. Right. I would be like, damn, what happened to Keyshawn, man? 3 years, he's out the league. Just because of the system and the stuff around. It wasn't my talent.
I think a lot of people can relate to this in their own jobs, you know, in their own careers. Being when you're in a good situation, you're like, oh, I could be productive, I can thrive. And when it's a bad situation, it feels like almost no matter what I do, it's not going to really matter. That's a very frustrating feeling. How much of it is a guy like Wiggins, Amari, like Iguodala once upon a time, very high draft pick, in Wiggins' case, 1 overall, miscast as he needs to be the best player and the leading scorer on the team, and then people have a certain opinion of him. Then when he gets into another situation also where he can fit in, he doesn't have to be the leading scorer on the team. He can defend and do all the other things. Suddenly you're like, oh, damn, this dude could be a Hall of Famer if this keeps up. Like, how much of it is casting in terms of, like, how much is expected of a player like Wiggins?
Yeah, you know, I think you know, Wiggins, you know, he definitely went through a lot, right? He was a great player in high school. I saw him in high school when he was in Canada, and he came to the States and played. And then he got drafted, you know, first pick in the draft. And the potential was there. But what I didn't see early was the development of his game, right? And so I think that's what, you know, somewhat had him somewhat bounce around from Cleveland to then Minnesota and then now to Golden State. But it's mainly about being in a system where you are able to be yourself as a player and also figure out a way to keep your IQ of the game at a high level, right? Because once you apply your IQ and your talent to the game of basketball, then you can possibly become a future Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. You can become an All-Star. You can become a perennial All-Star. And that fundamental learning as a young player, you build on top of that as your career grows. And I think for Andrew, it's a blessing for him in disguise to be in Golden State, because now he's learning from Steve Kerr, from you know, great coaching staffing, and also his teammates that are well respected. He can now, you know, somewhat grow from there.
It's the reason why LeBron James went down to Miami, to be with that core and that foundation built by Pat Riley and D Wade, to learn how to win. You can make the case that Jason Tatum was drafted to the right situation in Boston because he's flourished. But what do you think is still feels like there's something lacking there with him? Is it just him being careless with the ball? Is it inexperience that?
It's all right here on the left side of your chest, champ. Mm. If your heart ain't right, if you ain't strong enough mentally to be aggressive down the stretch in the fourth quarter and let your teammates know, hey, I got this. If you ain't got that in you, you ain't got it in you. And I mean, I have yet to see it in Tatum in the fourth quarter where he's like, yo, get out of the way. I got us. You know, and I haven't seen that with him. So it's.
Can it be unlocked, though, this stage of his career?
I don't know. You got it. I have no idea. Somebody got the key somewhere to unlock it?
I mean, why is that? There's certain players in the league, you know, like you see, like, yo, they got all the talent in the world. You just wonder, like, if they unlocked it. Like, what
you
got
to unlock? It has to be in there, though. It has to be in there somewhere. And you have to have seen it already, and I haven't seen it yet, so that's a little bit concerning.
Amari Stoudemire, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, Amari. As always, we're going to continue this conversation, plus why Steph Curry can't have another game like he had in Game 5. Not if it's a Game 7, not in a loss. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.